Do you understand the ramifications that this case could have?
It was supposed to be a system that benefited all sides.
So here's the $64,000 question.
COVID-19, in my opinion, is the meteorite that hit the earth.
It's headed to the Supreme Court in a bunch of different lanes.
Tell us about that.
Welcome to Civilly Speaking with host Sean Harris. Each month, Civilly Speaking brings you interviews on practical and timely legal issues on the local and national level.
We hope these stories inspire you and remind you of the impact we have as advocates for our clients. We'll see you here on the next episode of Civilly Speaking.
Hello, and welcome to Civilly Speaking, OAJ's podcast for trial lawyers by trial lawyers. I'm your host, Sean Harris, and today we're talking about the results of this week's election. Our guests today are attorney and OAJ member Rick Topper and OAJ's Director of Government Affairs, Brad Ingram. Rick, Brad, thanks so much for joining us here on Civilly Speaking.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Thanks for having us.
Before we get started, a quick sponsor message. CW Settlements is committed to assisting their clients in building and preserving wealth through knowledge and collective resources at the forefront of the industry. For more information, contact Tom Stockett at tstockett@cwsettlements.com. Well, Rick and Brad, here we sit the day after the election. What are some of your biggest takeaways right now, right after it happened?
Can I be positive?
Please.
There obviously is a lot of negative in this. Ohio is very somewhat red in the way we vote. What is absolutely amazing, I'm very, very disappointed in Tim Ryan's race. I think he was a superior candidate to J.D. Vance. All the exit polls showed that people loved Tim Ryan. They felt comfortable with him. They thought he could lead the best. But for some reason, they voted for J.D. Vance. I was very, very disappointed in the Supreme Court races, not only from a standpoint of civil justice and civil justice issues, but because the Supreme Court is going to be ruling on gerrymandering. And with a Republican majority right now in the Supreme Court, I can guarantee you that we will have bad right-wing districts for probably the next 10 years. And not only is it a disappointment from the Supreme Court, but also from the executive branch, because two of the members swing votes on the redistrict commission, which are Frank LaRose and Mike DeWine, will make up, they and Matt Huffman and Bob Kupp will be passing pretty bad districts that won't bode well for people with civil justice issues, women, minorities, the gay population, anybody else who is progressive in Ohio.
Now, this was the positive part.
Let me get to the positive part. Yeah, there is positive. And here's positive, which is absolutely amazing. We were 12 to 4 in Congress under the old gerrymandered districts. Believe it or not, in Ohio now, we have 5 congressional seats which have gone to Democrats. Chantel Brown, Joyce Beatty, those were pretty much a given. What wasn't a given was Marcy Kaptur, Greg Landsman, and Amelia Sykes. And that is pretty amazing. So Ohio actually gained one seat in the Democratic side in going to Congress. The other thing from a strictly selfish standpoint is Franklin County is dark blue. We were successful in the overwhelming majority of our races. Rich Brown, which is disappointing right now, but could change very easily, is very close to winning that race. He's probably only not even 100 behind. And Zach Wynn, who is running for Common Pleas judge, is about 1,500 behind, but there are a lot of ballots to count still.
And we do see this, and we've seen this trending this way over the last couple of years, this increasing concentration of urban blue centers inside a sprawling sea of red.
You've described it perfectly, Sean.
Turnout overall in Ohio was honestly disappointing. It didn't match what 2018 turnout was. And a lot of that is due to our urban core counties. Franklin, despite being deep blue, didn't show up as much as expected. I think Franklin County was under 50% turnout. And Cuyahoga County, also deep blue county, just didn't show up to vote as much as they did 4 years ago. On the positive side, like Rick mentioned, the congressional races in Northwest Ohio, Southwest Ohio, and the Summit County area, those districts had much better turnout. And really, it's pretty obvious the difference in this election. When Democrats show up, they do have a chance. They just didn't show up around the state and in the other places that mattered.
And Rick, you had mentioned some races that still have not been declared yet. Are there ones that you guys have your eyes on in these waning days of the election?
You know, I was really focused, obviously, on Franklin County because that's what I was so involved in, doing voter protection for Franklin County. So we were keyed in on Rich Brown's race because he was gerrymandered into having a district which was fairly competitive. The one that was very difficult, which swung around southern Franklin County into Plain Township and Grove City, which were conservative areas. And we weren't even sure that Rich had, you know, was going to be tough, but it's really close now. And then, of course, we were all focused in on the judicial races in Franklin County, which have gone Democrat, and which is amazing that we have a Democratic Court of Appeals now in Franklin County, which deals with a lot of statewide issues and state government issues. So that's really key for not only for Franklin County, but for whole state trial lawyers across the state.
Yeah, especially our work comp practicing members. All of their cases are heard through the 10th district. So getting three new Democratic judges on that court is going to be pretty helpful. Assuming that those judges see our side of the facts of those cases, of course. I mean, to the state legislature, Republicans expanded their majority in the House to 67-68, depending on the Rich Brown seat, of 99. That's near, if not the historic majority in the House. Senate expanded their already historic majority to 26 of 33 seats. It's just not even close. We've saw some really interesting races throughout the state, including a close one in Montgomery County. Andrea White, a Republican out there, won a very close but competitive race. She is a wonderfully kind and personable legislator. So I wasn't necessarily surprised by her win, but it was very close. And Jim Thomas in Canton beat incumbent Democratic Representative Thomas West. That seat had been competitive, but it wasn't a race that a lot of Columbus or statewide operatives were talking about. And then, honestly, the biggest surprise of the night came out of Trumbull County. Republican Nick Santucci, who works for the Youngstown Area Chamber of Commerce, won an open seat. Really overcame a kind of a structural deficit. It should be a D seat by about 5 points. And Nick was a really competitive candidate. And he showed up, and so did the district. And to me, that just kind of cements the Ohio River Valley as no longer being a Democratic, not even stronghold. It's all red now.
And Brad, how about the Ohio Senate? What'd you see there?
Again, the Senate Republicans expanded their majority by kind of using the force of that majority and really spent a great deal amount of money on the Eastern Franklin County District. Incumbent Senator Tina Maharath, who has had some electoral, this is only her second time on the ballot, we'll say, but she lost to Michelle Reynolds. I think more than $1 million or $2 million was spent in that race. And it wasn't a surprise for the Republican, but for a Republican to win a Franklin County district, especially a suburban one, was very, very surprising.
And the other thing, though, I tell you what, I mean, Tina Mauroth's district was also gerrymandered, as was Rich Brown's. And that could have led to part of it. Plus, Michelle Reynolds ran a very good campaign. And like Brad says, the amount of money went into it. But a lot of it, you can see the effect of what has happened with the redistricting commission and what has happened with the, you know, state legislature putting together the districts. We are facing that. And like I say, we'll be facing that probably until unless something happens with the Supreme Court in 4 years, we're going to see that going for a long time.
How about attorney legislators in the General Assembly coming up? More, less, the same?
We should have a few more, actually. At a surprisingly low number of attorneys in the legislature these days. But I know that at least three Republican attorneys won in the House races. Representative Rich Brown is a question mark for the House Democrats. Actually, Republican Michelle Reynolds, who won the Senate district that we just spoke about, is going through law school right now. So it'll be nice to have a friendly or at least an understanding voice when we get over there and need to talk about civil justice issues. So we'll have a few more. And we've already started building relationships with them and helping them to learn our side of the issues. We didn't have, as far as I know, any trial attorneys run for the state house this cycle. If you're a trial attorney that's interested in running for office, please let me know. We want to see more OAJ members and trial attorneys start having an impact on the laws that we see coming out of the legislature.
And in mentioning Rich Brown, who, you know, is and was a trial lawyer and, you know, on the defense side, but also on the plaintiff side. And the good thing about his, like say, we have ballots yet to count in Franklin County. There are outstanding absentee by mail ballots. Not all of them have come in, and anything that was postmarked by Monday. So we'll have ballots coming in probably on, you know, tomorrow. Those are yet to be counted. And like I say, provisional ballots, there are 13,000 of those outstanding. Now, obviously, they're not all in Rich Brown's district, all right, because they're spread all among Franklin County. And many of the provisional ballots are in campus and urban areas. But there are some in his, and there are also, especially since it's such a close race. And then, of course, with Zach Wynn running for judge. So we have to see about those. And those tend to swing about 80 to 85% of those we expect to be counted. That's historical data. And most of those will probably swing Democratic. The issue is whether or not with those provisional ballots, people voted down the ticket. So you'll see them voting at the top of the ticket for the statewide offices, for the Senate race, but getting down to the Common Pleas Court, getting down to the state house, we're not sure about that. So that's out there, ready to happen. We'll just see what happens. And those, actually, the absentees and everything, that probably won't have a result on this for another 10 days when they're all counted, opened and counted.
And do we have a sense statewide how many votes were stolen in a rigged election?
Yeah, Sean. You know, I tell you what, because it's a red state, you know, Frank LaRose says this is a very secure election. If Frank LaRose was in Michigan, it might be a rigged state. But no, it is because it's gone for his side, I'm sure it's good. And once again, you know, he actually came out and said the number of, you know, the voter fraud supposedly is, I mean, a fraction of a fraction of a fraction, and just not out there. And what's interesting, we found out, at least in Franklin County, is that the absentee by mail among Republicans has gone way down this year. And I think a lot of it has to do with the MyPillow guy saying, hey, don't vote by mail, with Trump saying, don't vote by mail. But in 2018, the last election like this, we had Republicans outnumbered Democrats in terms of sending an absentee by mail. This time, an absentee by mail, Democrats outnumbered Republicans 2-1. Fun facts to know and tell.
Obviously, we know the results of the Supreme Court races. How about courts of appeal around the state? How did they fare?
Once again, as Brad said, Franklin County, which is the 10th district, we're pretty much all Democrat now. And Brad, I'll let you talk about the others.
Yeah, we saw a Democratic flip of a seat down in Hamilton County in the first district. Newcomer Jennifer Kinsley beat a running from cover, as I'll call him, Judge Winkler in that district. And Judge Michael John Ryan beat incumbent Cornelius O'Sullivan in the 8th district. So those are Democratic pickups. Republicans did flip 5 seats, though. District 5, 6, 7, 9, and 11 will now have new Republican judges in those districts. Let alone, there were 3 races in the second district that includes Montgomery County where Democrats didn't even run anyone. So those 3 seats have obviously and uncompetitively flipped or I don't know about flipped, but have gone to the Republican side.
Brad, have you seen, I know in Franklin County, we see that most Democrats get elected to the judiciary. But now that we have Democrat and Republican behind the Court of Appeals judges and the Supreme Court race, I know that has an effect in Franklin County because people vote for Democrats in Franklin County. Because we're blue by 65-35, something like that. How does that fend in the other counties that you've noticed?
Good question, Rick. And I'm sorry I didn't mention that. Yeah, this is the first year that we have party identification on the ballot for Supreme Court and Court of Appeals. And those races or challenges on the ballot were actually moved closer to the beginning. So we saw much, much lower ballot roll-off or voter fatigue as we have in the past. People actually voted down ticket this time, and that with party identification had a real impact. Districts, Court of Appeals districts that look red went red. Court of Appeals districts like Franklin County and Hamilton County that look blue went blue. And it's, I don't know, from an outsider's perspective, it's kind of sad that it was as basic as that. I would have hoped that Judicial Votes Count and other great resources would have been able to educate the electorate a little bit more on the quality of these judges.
Not being partisan at all, I like to think that the blue candidates of Franklin County were probably the most qualified, but...
And certainly many of those consistent races were qualified candidates against qualified candidates. But we hate to see it boil down to the most basic of information rather than something a little bit more substantive, like a judge's stance on bail or crime or civil justice issues or even their thinking and legislator judicial philosophy. Right. Just not, I didn't see that in looking at these candidates, but hopefully we'll see some real positives come out of these changes and be able to build on and find new pro civil justice candidates in the future.
Well, thanks, guys. You've given us a lot to think through, and it sounds like some of these races are still working their way out. So there may be more and better results to come in the future. Thanks so much for joining us here on Civilly Speaking.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Brad. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks to everybody out there for joining us today. And a big thank you to everyone who voted, gave, worked the polls this election cycle. For all the listeners out there, if you like our podcast, be sure to subscribe on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. And we'll be sure to see you here on the next Civilly Speaking.